Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in Count is called Blue Magnetic Night, and it is the first day of the Blue Night Wave spell, and it is the Electric Moon Day 9. And I'm being really superficial on purpose because I am really don't want to have to do a lot of divulging here. This is going to be a podcast that gets us through because I am extremely inward. I'm having a reaction to being in Mercury retrograde where I don't want to communicate aloud and publicly at all. So this is like my fourth attempt. I got all the way to like 28 minutes yesterday, but the whole podcast was backlit by the evangelical concert happening next door to my home. It was really pretty good music, but it was just so like U2 Jesus-y that it was slightly disruptive to the sound quality here. So this is the time of either the year, the 13 moon year moving through the moons, or the time of the Zolk'in, or it's simply the retrograde moment that grabs me by my ankles and kind of keeps me from wanting to leave my cloistered recesses where I do Mayan time kind of through my own complex perception, and I'm not good at articulating it for others. So with that inviting welcome, let's do the podcast. The White Dog Wave spell happened, and you know, it wasn't so obvious to me. You know, there wasn't like, oh, I fell in love in the White Dog Wave spell. I had to nurse a broken heart in the White Dog Wave spell. There were aspects of loyalty, but for me, they were super drawn to a place rather than people. I'm so in love with the part of California that I was raised in, and I haven't lived there for 30 years. And here I am, almost 52, which is epic. And the big change that I'll be able to identify is that I'm moving back to my homeland, and I am in love with a mountain there. I am in love with the memories that I hold for myself about the place, not the people. You know, this little town, this little borough, this little hillside, this little beach, this little field, like they all have memory chains that take me back to things that were important to me a long time ago. And it is super relational, like being in love with place to me is more powerful and probably more safe or reliable than being in love with people. So I spent the White Dog Wave spell committing, rekindling, visiting, and becoming certain that I would in fact upend my life and move 400 miles away. And that's all going to be happening in the self-existing and overtone moons. It's coming right up. It's going to be before my birthday, it would seem. November 23rd is when I turn 52, and that day for all of us, our 52nd birthday equals our birth. We are doing 52 year cycles here. So there's a lot that I have going on sort of privately or insularly that's magnificent and really has a hold of me. Sometimes the public version of Resonant Truth, my business or my calling, is because I can't find a way to get a toehold and be invigorated by everyday life. So I cling to this channel that we share as a way of remaining super mystical and invigorated, and yet I'm having that separately from this public experience right now. So I just want to always remind you two things. I talk about my own experience in case it's emblematic of something we all are, or many of us are experiencing, and also that I fight really hard right now with my low self-esteem, that is, not with you, to really honor what is going on as I move through my 52-year transit. It is such a big event in one's life, and that is true of the people that I've seen turn 52, or I've heard talk about their 52nd year and the changes that came with it. Like, I'm not fixating on myself as having a more important 52-year transit than anyone else, but all of us, especially those of you who are younger, so that you can anticipate turning 52 the way I have been able to for 20 years, essentially, but, you know, definitely getting closer, getting more fixated on paying attention to what's transforming within me. This is a epic moment in my life, and it's a completion of a 52-year cycle, and of course it's an invocation of a new one, and that's where my attention is lying. So I'm going to report a lot about that here and still try to maintain things that are interesting to everyone, but yeah, it only happens once until you get to 104. So the White Dog Wave Spell, maybe I explained pretty carefully last podcast. For me, it was about recognizing, learning, realizing, wow, in this time, this 13 days, I love myself more than usual. So, you know, not blind adulation, not obsession with self, but just like, oh, I have an easing on the tension of self-harming thoughts and self-loathing that's pretty much institutional for me, and being able to get my new bearings of like, oh no, like, I have self-worth, it's kind of intact, or it's established. And that's a big part of, you know, how I would allow myself to break with routine and expectations of others and my own expectations, and just cut myself loose from where I've been living for 13 years and go live where I've wanted to live for 30. You know, I've wanted to go home since I went to college. I live in a really expensive hometown that I was priced out of, so I've been kind of this wandering, questing explorer through other avenues of the Americas, although I've stayed in California the whole time. And I am, yeah, I want to also report that you can decide if this has relevance for you as well, but I think a really big impulse for me to want to move is that it's the lunar year of a 13-year cycle. We're in the second one, and it is one about pulling apart. The lunar tone, whether it's the day, the moon, or the year, has all this aspect of things being divided, separated, polarized, shadow and light, stark difference. A lot of nuance is not important right now, but rather looking at things as this and that, and yin and yang, you know, and that polarity means things are sort of set up to be opposite or different, really disparate from each other. And that is a feeling of cleaving and saying, ah, I'm cutting away from this thing that isn't me, I'm finding separation from. And I've lived in Southern California for 13 years. So I did this 13 years ago in a lunar year. I moved down here. I'm from the Northern California. I moved to Southern California. Now I'm moving back, but not where I was 13 years ago. 13 years prior to that, so we're now dealing with 26 years ago, I moved. So every lunar year for the last three, I've made a big move. I'm happy to identify that. I was born in a lunar year as well. And yeah, those are the big gestational astrologies that I'm reckoning with that keep me a little bit out of the focus on, oh, wave spells and how we're marching through our 13 moon year. But the White Dog Wave Spell, with your version of where love and attachment, devotion, loyalty arose for you, whether it was with a person, whether it was you in kind of protective governance of another's heart, or whether your heart was broken open like a puppy love, any variation or both, themes of love and attachment, just, you know, the loyalty in a mammalian way in the white dog time is not all intellectual and guarded and careful to seem not as devoted as one is. It is blind devotion, and I guess blind doesn't mean to indicate dumb. It just means without any restriction, just adulation is fine. And yeah, I experienced that around a place, a sort of sacred lands. But now we're in Blue Night, and from the very first, i.e. the night that carried us into this new wave spell, Sunday night into Monday, you might have had some dreams that you were consciously tracking upon waking. But we are in a window where the dreams at night are going to be substantial, important, significant. That is what this wave spell celebrates. The Blue Night wave spell is about dreaming and intuition and abundance. So we're just at the front end, and there are a whole bunch of other ways that you can regard Blue Night, the tribe, and feel its presence in varied ways in the wave spell. So let me kind of just itemize. Blue Night is, of course, about the night sky. And when we dream and we have intuition, we are playing with that starscape that we as a species have been able to identify for millennia, looking at the stars and seeing a story. It's kind of foundational to all the other creativity and playwriting and fictional portrayals that came after it, and as well as the religions that came after it, where you know, we tell fables and myths that are based in truth but take off liberally. And that is how it is when we look at the stars and see astrological signs within them, that there is the actual star clusters in the sky, and then there's our imagination carving them into shapes and telling stories about how those shapes interact with one another and ourselves as the sky rotates. The strength then of developing a storytelling muscle in our brain is how we then read signs intuitively. And so when we see, you know, the hummingbird as, I mean, that's going to be my example, like, oh, I want to buy this home, look at all the hummingbirds. That the hummingbirds become storytellers to me, even if they're just incidental, even if it's an accident. My mind has been shaped to interpret and use what we would say intuition, to be guided by a divine force to evaluate the things that I see physically around me. The physical signs inform a spiritual awakening. And the Blue Night wave spell, or the tribe of Blue Night, is all that. So when we dream at night, we live in a psychic world, the world of the psyche and the unconscious, and things get worked out in, again, storytelling ways, and karmic actors, odd appearances and locales, but engages our mind, our memories, because of the fantasy format of the dream time. But when we are in the Blue Night wave spell, then that carries over into the daytime when we're waking. There's more of a dreamlike quality, and the dreams at night are probably starker and louder, telling us stories with such an amplified voice that we remember them. And then we go through the Blue Night wave spell of dreaming with our dreams front focus in our minds. Blue Night is also about abundance, because the metaphor here is that it's picture of abundance to have a home in which to sleep, in which to rest, in which to develop the kind of sleep where you can leave your body and be an astral traveler in your own dreams and beyond. That's abundance. That's more than anyone could want. There's this new age charge to kind of visualize everything you want, as if we could become collectors or hoarders, just using our mind's eye. And really, the invitation here around the word abundance is just to recognize that this is the time of abundance. It's 13 days. Sometimes it's a day when we pass through the tribe more incidentally. But Blue Night, the tribe, represents kind of a lavish material affluence, and it doesn't mean being rich, but a version of feeling like we have treasure, a version of feeling like we are abundant, that we can notice and celebrate that we have many gifts. That happens in the blue night time, and we're usually given something that's kind of exciting and unexpected, that could be financial or benefit us in a material way, and you get to watch for that. The synchronicities around good luck around money are high. And one of the things that I talked about in my Erased podcasts, at least in the one that had the soundtrack of swelling Christian rock, is that there's such a connection for me, again, sort of seamless, in the red earth wave spell, which is about kind of moving through the cosmos on a cruise, a slow cruise, the same way our planet orbits the galaxy around the sun. I decided to move in the red earth wave spell. You know, I knew I had to. It was presented to me, and I engaged with that. Like, I want to move. I will move. And then in the white dog wave spell, I was able to kind of, again, orient myself to the deep love and reinvested passion, ardor, loyalty I feel for my hometown. And so that's perfect. And then here in Blue Night, I kept waiting because I have to find a place to live up there. My own home is for sale and has a buyer, but I don't have a place yet to go to. And I just had to trust, like, well, when we get to the Blue Night wave spell, which is about the home, the house, the abundant dream life happens when we're safe in a home. So we celebrate the home and the house, the hearth, in the Blue Night wave spell. I'm like, well, when we get to Blue Night, maybe in the 13 days of Blue Night, I'll be able to identify where my next home is. So that's my trust here at the outset. It's not intention. It's more like a trust exercise. Well, it is the wave spell of the house, the home, the dwelling in which we can restfully sleep, and our bodies then do astral travel, which exercises the freedom and expansion of our psyche or our spirit. So I'll just wait and see if I'm given some direction, some strength around home and dwelling because of this wave spell. Over in the electric moon, which falls a week now or so after the full lunar moon, the 28 days that imitated the year being in the second tone of 13 in both 13 moon calendar and the 13 year calendar. We've had that experience of lunar upon lunar upon lunar. We're still in the lunar year. So all of the learning that we did and the emphasis on the qualities of the lunar tone still apply, but more broadly. But this whole year is a lunar year. We identify challenge. We had the challenge in the magnetic year, but in the lunar year we can point it out. We can start to navigate it because we have more information about it. So that continues. It continues until July 24th. But meanwhile, within the year, the 13 moon year, a wave spell of 13 28-day moons, we're tracking upward, and we are adding in this electric tone, the third of 13. We are adding the element of divinity, or God, the heavens, the God force, the unseen world. A kind of holiness is coming in to fill the separation between ourselves and that which we realize we are polarized from. Either we're in conflict and we want to get away, or we're recognizing a healthy growth away from something, a distancing. Even that which is within ourselves, we're getting space around our problems to understand that they're not evil or immoral. They are unsolved situations of tension or confusion, and we can mitigate that by becoming less confused and less tense through learning and moving fearlessly through things rather than resisting them. So we are taking those actions right now. We're being aided by the nature of the electric moon, the nature of the entrance of a higher, more supreme power than anything we can concoct on our own. And we bridge the distance between ourselves and that which rattles us, that which disturbs us, makes us uncomfortable, i.e. our problem. And it also simultaneously is a calming agent, so that we're not only thinking about the problem that's out there across from us, we're thinking about the thing that's interceded. I mean, that's a beautiful picture. In the lunar tone, it's self and challenge, essentially. And then in the electric tone, there's the entrance of divinity, and we don't just focus on the challenge or ourselves. We also start to let our mind be engrossed by the beauty and the infinity of this big God figure, force, power. So that's happening. I will confess that I fell asleep during this podcast and, you know, at the earlier one, and I've never had that before, where I'm kind of sitting on a lounge chair and then in the middle of the podcast, I just have to close my eyes and go lie down. So I consider that a version of really heavy unconscious energy, meaning, you know, when people like, you're being so unconscious, try to be more conscious of what you're doing. The epitome of unconsciousness is when you fall asleep when you're doing something. So I am not quite sure what my issues are, but I've bounced back after several hours, including sleeping and walking and actually having, you know, private conversations about what the energy field is these days and what my personal process is. I'm kind of happy to wrap up here and just see what wants to be said. So, Blue Lunar Storm of the Year, I'm going to remind you and myself that it equals the fall of 1968 and the spring of 1969. And when we get overwhelmed or fatigued with the amount of charged up cultural change, we can, you know, find some grace or some support by understanding that this really is an epic year. Blue storm years are always charged. That's the right word for a storm, full of energy particles in the air crashing and burning in the sky and exploding so that all the pressure is released. That is the activity of 364 days in a row for us every time blue storm occurs. And then adding the lunar tone, which has yet, of course, to have this electric third rail that I just described. Like, we're in a lunar year where it's self and challenge without the addition of something beautiful and restorative and holy. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It's just not focal yet. We're in the phase of growth where that has not arrived. Instead, we're in the phase of growth where we're really woken up and shown that we're going to have to be heroic, that we are facing a heroic challenge, a demand that our strength and resilience start to be our musculature. You know, there's no easing into the wave spells. We're just hit with a strong purpose, a drive, and sort of a to-do list that doesn't originate with us, you know, from our will. We're given a fate in the first tone, the magnetic tone, which we did all of last year, White Magnetic Wizard, and now we're starting to understand within the purposefulness what specifically is difficult. Like, on a global or cultural level, it's climate change. It's climate crisis, because, you know, where I am, the fires burn and so on. So each geographical locale gets to be reminded that fundamentally, even though we have a societal crisis or democracy is in crisis, we are, you know, larger than that, looking at the planet's surface being in crisis. And so that's becoming really pointed. And then perhaps in the electric year that follows, Yellow Electric Seed, starting July 26, 2021, we will feel this washing in of some kind of restorative entity, you know, again, divinity. But in the meantime, for this whole year, it's a storm year where we're just looking at problems being itemized really strongly. They're being identified. So hang in there, you know. It doesn't seem easy. There's a massive numbing or accommodation adjustment that's been made to face mask pandemic lifestyles. It doesn't mean that people have forgotten that we're in that. You know, I'm sure there are people that are much more exposed to an altered lifestyle than I that can't forget. But it's like we are sort of sleepwalking through this traumatic surge and change that's happened to everyone. So you can only sort of lean on yourself and others in conjoined trauma. There's not really anyone so resilient or unaffected that they're like, well, you can always come hang out with me because I'm not in that. Like, we're all in it. And I think that's sort of the version of apocalypse that I'm adjusting to, because I throw that word around really easily because it's not very loaded for me. It's just a shift, you know, an age, a shift in ages where we went from not threatening our own species directly to doing that to the extreme. And doesn't mean that we are at the end. It's just sort of a vibe. So in the apocalyptic vibe, it is true that sort of everyone is under the scepter of traumatic change. So it's hard. It's hard. We're all tired. And of course, some people are doing great. And I think it just, it's measured by how much you can see or feel the big picture. And again, grace filling the spaces between you and what threatens you, which that idea that I pitched about the lunar tone shifting to electric is, you know, it's what every philosopher seeks as a seeker. I'm not like inventing any concepts here. I'm just showing you how they exist within the calendar, that a person has a crisis that's existential and can only see challenge. You know, the end of the world is nigh. And that is a place that, you know, we are awakened and shocked awake and hurt. We lose our innocence. And then it can be restored. Mine, yours, and maybe yours is restored right now, that there's some version of your life that's in the electric tone. I mean, we're in the electric moon, so I wouldn't be surprised if it were kind of calendar specific that you feel good about a bunch of things because holiness has returned to your perception. But some people just have more holiness. Like I know there's someone out there that has a baby. Like having a baby is like having a little God living, you know, next to you that you get to touch and change clothes for in service of that little God being. So if you have a baby right now, I'm sure you're less existentially wrought. And then other people have different versions. So that's just, I don't know where that started with me talking about the blue lunar storm year and how it's not going to get easier, you know, because we are not in a time of quick fixes. If we consider the calendar, which is what this podcast is about, so I try to use that, I use that descriptor, like it's not going to get easier until, you know, 6, 7, 8 years from now when we get to our planetary experience and the planetary year of this wave spell. And I don't know that it will be easier. We're on an odyssey in this 13-year cycle that began with White Magnetic Wizard of exploring shamanism, being a shaman, what shamanism is for, which is healing those who are unwell, focusing on healing, not focusing on war, not focusing on productivity. The shaman focuses on healing, and we're in the time of the shaman, and it's a 13-year window. And I really love it because if you think of it starting in 1967 and going to 1980, 52 years ago, that 13-year window, the 70s, which, I mean, I just was so fully exposed to that in California. the 1970s for a lot of people was just this massive exploration of psychedelics and plant spirit medicine in its first phases of in our modern times. And so we can remember the 52 year ago window, and what that foretells is that, you know, we are also going to be looking at opening our faculties to the unseen world, unseen realities, paranormalism, and all the magic and enchantment. We're going to be doing that for a long time as well. Well, I made it to the music. I'm so grateful. Thanks for waiting. I am Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in Lakesh.